Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670.
And the Cubs are one out away from being in the postseason.
One out, one strike away
from the postseason.
And the 3-2. Fly ball to left.
In the air, left field. There's Happ.
This is going to do it. Ian Happ is there, and the Cubs are in the playoffs.
He's got it. Ball game. The Cubs are headed to the postseason.
The Cubs are going to be a postseason team here in 2025, and the celebration will begin.
With straight shots and then pop bottles.
Yeah. Popping champagne, you're moments away from doing so. What are you most excited about?
All of it. I haven't felt that champagne in a minute. I can't wait.
How many bottles of champagne have you used here tonight?
Probably more than 10, and I learned that with champagne, instead of drinking it, you should absorb it with your skin. It feels better.
Yummy.
Ada said it was yummy to get champagne on him. How would you describe it?
Yummy.
How will you remember this day, the first time that you ever got to celebrate a postseason berth in the major leagues?
I'm never going to forget this. I've never done interviews like this.
Pete, it's been so cool all season long to see the way that Chicago has fallen in love with you. What do you want to tell them?
Hello. We got a long ways to go. I'm so excited to do this for y'all.
Playoffs?
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, man, you're right. It's playoffs. We are broadcasting live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news on the Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, Mark Grody joins us from Hallis Hall at 125. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can text us and call us 312-644-6767, and you can find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Our producers are Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. We appreciate them all. Cody Westerlund is in the house as well, and of course, he is involved in a lot of 670thescore.com and our social media, so Cody gets a shout-out too. Everybody gets shout-outs when we talk about playoff teams, and for the first time in 5 years, the Cubs are actually a playoff team. Not only does it feel nice to say, but guess what? This was part of the plan. Congratulations, you completed step one.
It is the minimum of the expected result of the Cubs 2025 season, which honestly was the minimum of the expectation of the 2024 and the 2023 season, but that didn't work out as well. But now here we are with a team that looks like it's on its way to 90 plus wins this season. And I gotta say, Layla, credit where credit is due. They dealt with a lot of injuries. They dealt with a lot of things that could have sidetracked them as a team, but they were able to find their way at the end to cross that finish line. Although now they're in the bonus stage. If you're playing a video game, you get more time.
Yeah, well, this is, for some teams, this is what it's actually all about. And not only is the goal to get into the bonus stage, it's to actually win the whole thing, which is why we were talking about the concept of wanting to have both Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker on your team at the same time, because, you know, people get injured. Everybody doesn't hit well at the same time. To have players like that with slug is a better way to guarantee wins in Major League Baseball. And I want to go back to what Craig Counsell had to say to begin with last year, because sometimes that's what it takes. Even when you think you're close, it shouldn't just be about winning the division. It should be about how many wins do you think it's going to take that you can guarantee yourself and have a real benchmark of what does a picture of a playoff team look like. And when he said 90 wins, that lets you know what his standard was. To then go out and try to meet that the next year, I feel like is a step in the right direction as to why you hired him. You know, that's been part of the discussion too. And rightfully so. Rightfully so, after last season, they finished with the same win total they had before, 83 wins. That's not going to be the case this year, as we know. So they've already passed that total. And that's how you do it. When you think you have enough to reach your goal, you get more. And that's what they did when it came to the 90-win benchmark. You know why? For example, you got teams like the Brewers breathing down your necks, and the Brewers have been leading the division for how many days now?
Too many days.
Precisely. And a lot of people didn't take them seriously. So that's why it's so important. When you set forth a goal and when you actually say, yeah, winning the division, in quotes, isn't enough, it's because you need a number, and they've met that goal thanks to that mindset.
I also love the fact that they were able to celebrate because their win forced a championship. We've all seen the other side of this where, oh, you got in because you lost, but another team won on this particular day, and now you're celebrating not immediately after the game. It's kind of a delayed celebration. It has a little less juice to it, but this was perfect from the fact that they were in Pittsburgh and Ian Happ was able to have a day in which he knocked in three, hit a home run, and records the final out of said game, and then it kind of sets the tone that, okay, we won to get in, and now we can keep going with this.
Well, that's the point, right? Like, that's it. So I credit Craig Counsell with not only being on the record with saying that and putting everybody on notice as to what is and is not acceptable. I feel like the coach up the street at Hallis Hall is trying to do the same thing. The results might not show immediately, but at least they're starting to show. And with the Cubs, this was priority one. We couldn't have a discussion about this season in a proper way if this didn't happen. So to be able to talk about meaningful baseball, even in September, that was such a nice feeling, even for me as a host, to be able to be excited about this, to know what this really means, knowing your team is going to get into the playoffs, not if they're going to get in. Going. And you know the difference, Marshall, between talking about a team trying to get into the playoffs and one who knows it's going in and then what the strategy is going to be.
Yeah, and I like that they had also yesterday, and then I'm assuming a lot of guys are going to get the day off today because that's usually
who's
what happens.
Who's going to be available in Cincinnati today?
That's a question.
Fun with the lineup is going to be a thing today. It's going to be like Danny Mueller. You don't actually have a playing title with the Cubs, but you should get in. Like guys who work for the team who don't necessarily play should be the
this
ones.
This game is sponsored by
game.
Excedrin.
Yeah, and Dramamine.
I was going to say Pedialyte, but okay, we can
all
keep it going.
All of the above. Yeah, what unlikely Cub is Clark? You are now the catcher. Congratulations.
First player to play without pants.
Put some gear on, Clark. Put some gear. No pants, but he's got
the mascot costume.
That's true. But seriously, when you look at this team and what it has accomplished, and I know they're not done, right? But I think it's important because we wondered leading up to this whether or not they would have a big celebration or not. And they did, and they deserved it because it's been a long time. And it's been a long time for the guys who were here the last time this happened. Guy who was here the last time this happened.
Our guy.
Yeah. And for this group, it's their first time. It might be different if this was like the second or third time in a row they've been to the playoffs. But this group now has come together. It's Craig Counsell's first trip to the playoffs as manager of the Chicago Cubs.
Also, can I be a bit of a policy wonk here?
Okay.
So I still believed in having not having your designated hitter in the National League because I liked it. Like, I just liked the strategy. I liked it being a thing. I just felt like it added a little something. And I get it. You want offense. People deserve to have more jobs, too. A DH means another roster spot. But let's go back to the trash setup that was the 2018 postseason, where the Cubs lost in one game in the wild card in 2018 to the Rockies. Buzzkill.
That's back when the wild card was, well, was a
buzzkill.
I'm so glad the wild card is a thing now, like with a series. I know it's only a 3-game series, but still.
That was a 2-1 barn burner at Wrigley in 13 innings, and it was the most anticlimactic ending. Do you remember that, right? Like, it was just,
it sucked.
I just remember sitting there and being like, that was it?
Yep. Anticlimactic is the word.
And the time, you didn't necessarily think, because I remember being on with Lawrence a couple weeks later on The Score, and we were talking about just the concept of the window being over. And you kind of knew, because that was the year of the famous quote, the offense is broken. But it's been since that long, minus the playoff series to the Marlins in 2020. Like, think about that.
Look, there was a historic Cubs drought, and it's nothing to those epic proportions, but it is a drought, man. When you get that World Series, and personally, me speaking as a Cubs fan, like, we got that World Series in 2016. I was hungry for more, baby. I want to get back to these playoffs and this is another postseason run. Come on.
Sounds like you've been hungry for a long time, right?
That's right.
Sounds like you've been hungry for a long time.
So they don't have the last out of that game recorded in MLB Game Day for some reason. They have the next to last out. Do you know what it is?
God.
Javier Baez strikes out swinging on a slider.
That was happening a lot.
Yeah, if I had to describe 2018. So that's where I sit with this, is that this is going to be a real series. Yeah, the change here, I actually think, was for the good. Baseball is based in multiple games at a time. It was really antithetical to say one game is going to decide whether or not you're moving on. Worked out for that year, the team like the Nationals, you know, that worked in their favor. But when it comes to almost everybody else, you want to say to yourself, this needs to be better. And kudos to baseball for making it so. And we get to talk about the Cubs in the modern baseball playoff format. All of that feels good to me.
And it's not a short season. So it's like you went the full 162 to get in this time.
Yeah, that's what makes this a whole lot better. This segment on Raheem Harrison Grody talking Cubs playoffs for the first time in 5 years, what feels like a million, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Oh, 847 has a good point. Clark is an experienced catcher, what with all those ceremonial first pitches.
That's fair. That is fair.
I don't know, Carson Kelly's playing pretty well, though.
Carson Kelly was my post-game celebration hero yesterday. The two Budweisers in one hand and then smoking the cigar with no hands. And then the other hand was free to fist pump Matt Boyd. I was not familiar with your game, sir.
It's kind of fitting because he ends up playing the most games as a 3.6 WAR player that he's played in his career since 2022. And he played 103 games. Coming into the season, if I'd asked you, how many games will Carson Kelly play this year? The answer would definitely not have been triple digits, right? Him splitting time with Miguel Amaya. And I think what he's been able to do, and he had a little bit of a lull right after the All-Star break, but guess what? So did everybody else. What he's been able to do,
though, doesn't make it better.
Well,
that actually makes it worse.
But to have 17 home runs, which is one off his career high, to have a career year as far as the wins above replacement is concerned, to be a steadying force behind the plate, he has kind of that, I could be the MVP of this team if you're really thinking about the layers of how things went down this season and all the injuries.
I don't know, because I remember talking to you, 2 weeks ago about how I thought Carson Kelly had a good game and I appreciated his bat all season. And you're like, he'd been terrible since the All-Star break.
He had been.
And that was the exact term you used. But that, as we were saying, people will have those slumps at times during the season. That's why you need a bunch of people to balance out when you have them. But it was I think when a plan comes together, and at least this piece of it comes together, credit does deserve to be had. And as you mentioned, Marshall, Ian Happ is the one player who was on the team for that 2018 lame-o playoff. And I know that this meant something to him. Let's listen to him talk to Taylor McGregor after the Cubs clinched yesterday in Pittsburgh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Lahimi, Harris, and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
You know, when you're, what, 2002, Allen Iverson? Was that the year he said that? I want to say it was somewhere around there. Yeah, when you're vintage, wear your shorts so low they're capri pants, AI, and you're doing superhuman things, you can talk about practice that way. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Mark joins us from Hallis Hall at 125. It's another thing when your head coach says you need to be practicing more. 82 games in a season for the old Sixers crew is a little bit different from only 17 for the Bears. You play like you practice, as they say in football. And if that's the case, then you absolutely see why the Bears have been playing this way. And then it makes sense as to why their head coach called out practice yesterday.
Not only do you play how you practice, also you probably need to practice to be able to play. And there's just several guys on that injury report who still aren't practicing this week, which gives me pause, concern, all of the above, especially when you add another defensive back to that list of guys not practicing.
Did the injury report just come out?
No, I'm saying the way that Jalen Jones was on it.
Yeah. Oh, the one from yesterday.
Yesterday, yes.
I didn't know if they had already issued an updated one for today.
No, that'll be later. But just understanding that they are thin, paper thin, and understanding
welfare thin.
And understanding the guys who are out there apparently aren't doing it like it needs to be done, according to the guy in charge. And well, that's problematic.
Frankly, is it just the guy in charge? I think we can all see what happened on Sunday did not go according to plan. Like, the one-on-one battles were lost. The individuals out there couldn't get the job done. Detroit was able to do anything they wanted offensively and able to do it in quick time, too. There are a multitude of ways we can talk about how the Bears failed on Sunday, and it makes sense to point to also signs in practice of breakdowns, if that's the case. And frankly, that's something that players talked about last year. There's a reason players brought it up publicly. Again, it sounds like it's not just a head coach thing. It is a individuals thing. Let's count the number of people on that injury report, by the way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Karan Amagaji, a new addition.
How did he get hurt? How did he get hurt, Layla? Layla, explain to
DeAndre
me how
DeAndre Swift was a limited participant with the quad.
Hold on.
Like, if you haven't heard it, because we weren't on the air and we were doing Cubs playoffs things, you got TJ Edwards, DNP hamstring. Kyler Gordon, DNP hamstring. Grady Jarrett, DNP knee. Jalen Johnson didn't practice groin, we know. Jalen Jones, hamstring, DNP. Karan Amagaji, elbow, limited. DeMarco Jackson, hamstring, limited. DeAndre Swift, quad, limited. Dear God, if they don't have DeAndre Swift. I don't even want to think about that. Jahdae Walker, ankle limited. And you're like, how's he on here?
So that's my point, is when you see the Jalen Jones, and it's a hamstring, by the way.
How are they on there?
You know how that goes, right, with hamstrings? And
no, I stretch. And weak muscles are tight muscles, baby.
Well, TJ Edwards and Kyler Gordon, they both stretch too. Doesn't matter, though, when you're in the game and it goes, ah,
yeah.
Ah, it got me. When Kyler Gordon hasn't even been on the field, he's week to week.
Yeah. And that guy is incredibly flexible, as we've seen.
Exactly. So they call him Spider-Man for a reason. Listen, if you are Ben Johnson, though, and unlike most coaches who will tell you, oh, we just didn't execute on game day, in the middle of the week, if he's willing to tell you, well, our practices haven't been as good as they need to be. Because most coaches won't tell you that.
No, in fact, we've both been sideline reporters. What's always the sideline hit coming out of kickoff? Coach so-and-so says they've had a wonderful week of practice. Back to you. They haven't. It's just what they have to say because they don't want to let anybody know what the real deal is. Not the case for Ben Johnson. Here's what he had to say being asked about practice.
You volunteered on Monday to put some things on tape offensively away from the ball that displeased you. What were some of the specifics of the things?
Yeah, there were things all over the tape on all three phases that we're looking to clean up. And I thought as a whole that that team, they played a little bit harder than us. And that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff, and it's a reflection of our players too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you gotta be all out and every single snap. And that just was not the case. So specifically, it was everybody.
Are there guys that need to practice better too?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber team.
TTN. You heard Dan Weider and Mark Grody there.
That's a double team right there. Get him.
But also, Ben Johnson is telling you what time it is.
He said it so simply, Layla.
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber team.
He didn't say it with emotion. He just said it matter-of-factly, like, this is what I see, and this is what's not up to snuff, so to speak. And I think the biggest thing for him right now is he's looking for some dogs. He knows he's missing some of his best players on the roster right now at practice. And now he's wondering, is anyone going to step the F up? That is the question that he has to have answered between now and when they step on the field against a Cowboys team that's looking to go air attack on air attack on air attack.
Well, can you blame them?
No!
I mean, Detroit was basically routes on air on Sunday, which is probably the biggest insult I can give a defense.
Yeah, it looked a little too 7-on-7-ish, or 7-on-0, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, it was embarrassing. And when you know that their whole plan was get 14 Amon-Ra St. Brown schemed up against 29 Tyrique Stevenson, what happens with Jalen Johnson out indefinitely?
Has anyone checked on Tyrique Stevenson, though? I'm being serious right now.
Well, but here's the other issue is when people are saying, oh, well, you have to cut him or punish, they need him. Like, that's the level of talent on this team right now.
People are calling for Tyrique Stevenson to be cut?
That happened last year, if you'll recall.
All right. Well, that was from a very specific incident. And once you didn't cut bait at that point, you just got to ride it out.
Well, and the other point is, you know, if you sit somebody to punish them or whatever else, who's left? This is a decimated secondary. At first, it was cut back. You know, we saw the unfortunate Terrell Smith injury. Then Blackwell got on the list. Then you started to go through it. Then it's Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson. And you're like, oh, so who's out there? Who's left on this thing? And that's where we're at with this. Caleb Williams also was asked about what Ben Johnson had to say about the Bears' practice habits.
Caleb, Ben was a little critical of practice habits so far this year. What role do you play in setting the tone?
Ben and I have talked about that and being able to, you know, if it's juice, if it's, you know, pushing the guys, if it's encouragement, if it's whatever the case may be, it's just being able to, you know, be that for the team and the offense. That was kind of his point for me. And then from there, you know, just being able to execute and lead from being able to show the guys, you know, that we can get out there and we can execute these plays, even though, you know, it's our first year together. And I think we've been taking the right steps. The confidence has been growing within myself. And with, you know, within the offense and things like that. So, you know, I'm excited and that, you know, gets you up every day.
Let's think this through. So if you hear that from your quarterback and you heard the other thing from the head coach and you're picturing something happening where akin to like what we know about practice, where Ben Johnson took the first team off the field, you know, when they couldn't get something right in practice. And that was early. That was training camp. But if you know that that's kind of the idea. Who's the one yelling at everybody to get in gear, aside from coaches? Typically, you want some players to do that as well.
It's got to be Caleb Wright. Excuse me.
Caleb Wright.
It's got to be Caleb Wright.
You missed the comma there.
The comma and the question mark on the end. What I was going to say, it's got to be Caleb Williams, right?
Yes.
Joe Tooney.
Sure.
It's got to be Joe Tooney. It's got to be Grady Jarrett.
Drew Dahlman. Drew Dahlman's probably in that group as well.
Drew Dahlman. I was told, by the way, that some people were leaders I didn't know were leaders in the offseason.
Like Jervon Dexter?
Yes. And so it's got to be him.
Not the $98 million guy.
And when you look at the injury report as we're talking about the Bears and their practice habits, according to Ben Johnson here on Raheemy Harris and Grody, Mark Grody, by the way, coming up at 125 from Hallis Hall. You have to say, as I look at all the red dots of people who are either questionable, who are on IR, Austin Booker, Terrell Smith, you have to say who's going to step up. And if it's going to be all practice squad guys, you got a problem. The literal next man on the depth chart has to be the one to step up, whether that's Nick McLeod, whether that's Nashawn Wright, whoever you want to say.
Nashawn Wright did have a pick six. You know,
that seems like so long ago.
He made up for his he had a mistake. He had that penalty that cost the Bears about 40 yards against the Vikings. And then he actually made up for it, you know, in the best way possible with that 74-yard return for the pick six. He's definitely shown flashes.
No. He has shown the ability. Remember, he wowed at camp. Although now I look back at camp and I'm like, what is wow when you're going versus yourself and against other teams, second teamers and third teamers?
It's a very relative term.
It's a super relative term. So now I'm just wondering what Dennis Allen, and we'll hear from him coming up later today, the best of him from Mark Grody. But Dennis Allen, this is what he gets paid to do. And he has his work cut out for him this week.
A47 says, this is all nonsense. Isn't minicamp and training camp the place where the coaches are supposed to be watching who practices hard so they can determine the best players to put on the roster, not three games into a season? Yes, in theory, that's what's supposed to happen. But we knew that for number one, I think people talk about like whether or not Ben Johnson scouted players and whether or not it was Ryan Poles' draft or Ben Johnson's draft. I do also think there's some credit given to Ryan Poles. I think definitely worked with Matt Eberflus on asking him who you want to work with. But I also think they developed this board over a lot of time, right? Months, year. You hear about scouting and how long it goes on. So this draft board didn't just get put together over a week or something. Maybe he had the choice to pick who he wanted from this draft board, or there was somebody from the Lions draft board that was discussed, but the point is you still are working with your choices. And this head coach is trying to figure out who's going to do things up to his standard. And you know that anytime there's a new head coach, there's going to be some change when it comes to the players on the team. Like, I can't work with this guy I thought I could. I can't work with this person I thought I could. So to answer that text, yes, in theory, that's how it's supposed to go. But we are seeing right now that it's going to take real games to find out some answers about people, even ones you thought were, I think, a lock.
Also, I'll contend to that texter wondering what training camp and wondering what the practices leading up to the regular season were for. I want to let you know there was a clear and huge warning sign. It was at left tackle.
Yeah, when suddenly it was a four-man contest at left tackle, like special guest Theo Benedet was brought in, and frankly, who the Bears didn't have in a rotation like that previously, where either they overlooked his talent last year or they didn't develop it properly. The fact that he's also in the mix for a myriad of reasons makes it a much different discussion. Yeah, this is going to take some time, and I feel like that's what we're seeing. I'd rather have the honest answer from these people than say everything is cool when it's not, and then you're surprised on game day.
Layla, all I'll say is we have been warning people about, when we go back to tracing back when the Detroit Lions turned things around and what that looked like at the beginning of the season versus the end of the season, we warned them that this was probably the path. Now, seeing it play out in real time is a lot more painful than looking at the results and saying, oh, they were 1-6 in their first seven games. But the Bears are 0-2, could be 0-3, maybe 1-2 at the end of this week. Either way, they've got a long ways to go.
Oh, don't walk that back now, Marshall.
What am I walking back?
Could be 1-2. The only person on this show who said they could be 1-2 is me.
Yeah, I don't believe they're going to be 1-2. They could be. I'm saying it is possible. I just don't see how they're stopping Dak Prescott and company.
Let's talk more Bears next, because you mentioned Dak Prescott. It's also the return for a very notable person from the Bears past. What do the Bears think of their former head coach, Matt Eberflus, coming back to town? Let's discuss next.
Meaning what?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheemi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
There's a bond growing between Eberflus and Williams.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
What's that?
Man, that I knew when I heard the comments. I thought the exact same thing, Robbie Triano. So I'm glad to see that your Hard Knocks thought process was the same as mine. This is Raheemi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We heard Ben Johnson say that the practice habits of his team were not up to the caliber that they needed to be for a championship-level team, which is what he came from in Detroit. Then we heard Caleb Williams talk about it. That's not the only piece of the interviews yesterday that was compelling. All too soon, we have the return of Matt Eberflus, who practically immediately in the offseason was hired once Brian Schottenheimer was named in Dallas. Eberflus, who had worked there before as a defensive assistant coach, is now the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. That Cowboys team gave up 37 points to the New York Giants. So this is why I'm saying that this could be a good opportunity for the Bears offense, because that was not the ideal score for old Jerry Jones's team, who had to go to overtime to beat them. And not a good look for a defense. 52 points is worse, but after trading away Micah Parsons, Matt Eberflus's work in Dallas probably got a little more difficult. Caleb Williams was asked about his time with Eberflus yesterday.
How do you feel about the experience you had with him? You have months later now to process everything. How do you feel about the time that you had with Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, it was great. I think we're at the point where, you know, we're past that. But, you know, it was good. Obviously, being able to, you know, become a Chicago Bear. He made that decision. Obviously, everybody else was in here and being able to make that decision, making me a Chicago Bear. So, you know, happy to be here. And, you know, our time together wasn't wasted. Obviously, you know, we didn't win as much as we wanted. But we're past that, and we're focused on trying to be 1-0 this week.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was great.
No, it wasn't.
It was not great. Not by our account, not by your previous accounts,
not
Mr. Williams.
Not by the book who checked the quotes from your dad and you saying that you didn't want to go to the Bears.
Yeah, it was great.
Which made sense. I'm not dissing on you for that. That was completely understandable. He knew that question was coming, and he ran the play.
So, if we're going back, you can go back to Seth Wickersham's book. You can go back to just accounts of what Caleb had to say and his level of frustration as the season wore on. You can go back to his excitement.
Video, pictures, tape on film. Ben Johnson talking about body language.
It was not good. It was not good, Caleb, and you don't have to pretend like it was good. Yes, I understand. You want to reemphasize that you are so happy to be a Chicago Bear. We get it. We appreciate it. But let's not act like the dynamic between you and your first NFL head coach was rosy at all. In fact, it reminds me of the song Roses by Outkast.
Yeah.
You know how that hook goes.
Yeah. I think that's a more fair assessment. And if you're looking at it from his position, I think you're asking, well, what can you say? You learned a lot. You know, it was a learning experience. Nobody's going to fault you for telling part of the truth. It's a really big contrast now when your head coach is so truthful and so straightforward, and quarterback isn't necessarily the same. But the idea that it was great, you had to say something.
Yeah, it was great.
And even the St. Brown Brothers podcast would indicate that
all right,
Ben Johnson was the preferred coach from day one.
Listen, there's so much evidence.
We have a lot of tape.
There's a lot of
tape. We have a lot of receipts.
The receipts are there. It's reading like a CVS receipt after you made a big purchase. Come on, Caleb. It's okay to be you ain't got a lie to kick it. That's what I can say to Caleb Williams.
So, like, I want to, like, use this thing. Like, let's say, like, you have to be polite about, like, talking about your ex-girlfriend. It's like, hey, how was your ex?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, like, how was your time with your ex?
Yeah, it was great.
I want to find a way to use that cut with, like, things that, like, suck but you have to say are nice.
Well, I think that's why Layla's response of it was a learning experience is the most honest, tactful way you can address a question such as this, whether it's your ex, the place you used to work. There's so many different ways you can just work around the obvious.
I once had a supervisor who broke, like, multiple federal laws. Like, multiple. I mean, he was just incredibly out of pocket. Like, any sort of discrimination under the book was a check mark. Like, the list was vast, long, and established. And I had an exit interview, and I was like, he came to work on time sometimes.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, I mean, I'm like, he was my supervisor. Like, that's basically what I said about it. I'm like, I'm not throwing this guy under the bus. I just want out.
Yeah, it was great.
It's crazy. It's crazy how many of us have been found ourselves in situations where we have to kind of toe the line, because being messy gets you nowhere most of the time. Now, some people are real petty and they're going to cross that line. Caleb, he's the opposite of that, though. He's, come on, man. Come on.
We saw the games. We heard you talk.
We heard him talk.
We listened.
And we've seen everything that's transpired since he left the building.
It's great that you get to move on. And I feel like that's really what happened here.
Yeah, he probably should have led with that if he was going to go that direction. Like, you know, we moved on. We're past that.
I wish him well.
I wish him well.
I wish him well in his current endeavor.
Except for this week.
I don't think he...
you can't wish him well this week.
The Cowboys gave up 478 yards to the Giants.
I told you.
The Giants.
That's on me.
To be fair, the Giants...
There's only a few chaotic teams in the National Football League, and I count the Giants as one of them.
Yeah, no, what I was going to say is, to be fair, the Giants are out here. I mean, Russell Wilson leads the NFL in passing.
The Cowboys gave up 478 yards to the Giants.
I'm aware. I guess, how good do you think the New York Giants offense is?
And I don't think the Giants are very good as a team. Their offense is improved. But they get to face the Chiefs on Sunday night next. So you'll get a better understanding of who they are. And then after that, they play the Chargers. So you'll get an even better understanding of who the Giants are.
Again, the Cowboys have given up 404 yards per game. That is one of only four teams who have given up more than the Bears' 382.5 yards per contest.
Who are the other teams?
Pittsburgh Steelers, who have been very disappointed. Is that why you asked? They've given up 394.5 yards per game. They have one of the worst defenses in the NFL by far, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Baltimore Ravens have given up 409.5 yards per contest.
What can you do when your schedule is the schedule?
Yeah, you can
for them. For them, it's actually a reasonable explanation. Also, 847's hilarious. Caleb's, yeah, it was great. Sounds like when someone asks if you've watched a TV show and you didn't watch it, but you say that so you don't have to hear about it.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, that's actually fair.
How was The Walking Dead? All of the seasons.
Yeah, it was great.
How was Mad Men?
Yeah, it was great.
How was that? How was that meal that your mother-in-law cooked for you last night?
Yeah, it was great.
I love meatloaf.
Don from Rockton. How was jury duty?
Yeah, it was great.
How was the funeral?
Yeah, it was great.
How was the funeral?
Not the funeral.
And then his next question is, how was the lockup?
Yeah, it was great.
just more. That's like ascending layers of bad.
Yeah. But we will keep that drop for a long time, as in forever.
Yeah, I need more right now of the Craig Council. That's the news, the really big news, where he was making fun of everything. That's still my favorite, the partially annoyed Craig. It was so refreshing to see him smile yesterday.
It's.
I hope all of them had a very good time.
It's probably the news, the big news.
It is the big news, Craig. You're going to the playoffs. You're going to the playoffs. And Caleb Williams... well, he might get a win this week, according to Layla.
Yeah. In fact, we should talk about what's on the line for Caleb Williams. Do you want to do that next?
I think we should definitely get it. This is the week for Caleb Williams. Win or lose, this is the week for Caleb Williams.
You heard what Marshall had to say. We'll delve into it next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score.
Yeah, it was great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.